Welcome to the Road Back podcast.
We're so glad you're here. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Desiree. We're two trauma-informed coaches and real-life friends.
If you're returning to yourself, your dreams, or your sense of belovedness, this podcast is for you.
We'll pull from our own stories and hard-earned wisdom to support your journey.
So take a breath and remember,
you belong exactly as you are.
Welcome, friends. It's time for another episode of the Road Back podcast. Last week, we talked about our feminine identity and healing past pain that we had experienced growing up as women in the church and culture, and some of the steps that we took to reclaim our feminine identity through the healing process. And this week is a part two of that conversation, and we're going to talk about how the community of other women helps us walk out that healing. And this is something that Des and I both have a lot of experience with and a lot of thoughts on. So I am very excited to dive in today. Any thoughts, Des, before we get started?
Yeah, I could feel how significant it is in full circle to be able to talk and to acknowledge how shame can impact our feminine identity. And it's so relatable. I mean, you and I both have that experience in our stories, but also with the clients and the people that we mentor. And to bring it kind of full circle now is just walk in the embodiment part, the fulfillment of that feminine identity at its core, and how community has been a big part of even how we first connected, really, yes, within community. But then once we got to know each other, I felt like that was such a thing that we had in common that it brought us together. So this means a lot to me to be doing this podcast with you and also to be talking about this. So
yeah, it's a topic that's near and dear to both of our hearts. And so I am looking forward to seeing what unravels even organically as we sit down and we talk about the power of community and healing our femininity specifically. I know something that we've both seen in our own work with clients and just our own personal lives is a thread of speaking with women who have not had positive experiences with other women. And so when you suggest things like, let's get together, sometimes that brings up resistance in people because of their experiences. And so I am curious to hear what you have perceived and seen when women wound each other. Why do you think that is? What are your thoughts on that? I'd love to hear.
Yeah, well, this is so interesting because today, this morning, there was a friend from high school and I just clicked on something that she reposted, you know, in her stories. And there was this woman singing in the rain and she was something, it was something to the tune like, you love me until I lose the weight. You're happy for me until I get that job. I think a lot of women can identify with either jealousy or that there's not enough space for two people or multiple women to get care, to be seen, to be known, to be loved. And I think that this fundamentally comes from our family cultures, where oftentimes one person could have the emotional needs and the other couldn't, or one person could get, you know, the lollipop and the other person couldn't, or the new pair of shoes. I mean, it kind of goes back into these core fundamental things. But I think that that's, for me as a woman, both a pain point in the sense that we do hurt each other. That's 100% true. And even, you know, raising sons and daughters, it can feel like, oh man, watching my daughters grow up, I'm like, oh, this is pretty cutthroat, where boys are pretty straightforward, you know what I mean? Food and exercise and we're good. But it's so complex and it's so emotional. And I just think that there are so many things to consider when you think about women, because I think we need each other a lot. Yes. And it's also an extreme vulnerability we have that sometimes either in our own pain or lack of self-awareness, I know that's been true in my story, that I've perpetuated pain and vice versa. And it's, I say that to really bring a common humanity to all of us. This is a true part of the feminine experience, is both the good and the negative, but sometimes it can feel like that negative is a big part of our trauma.
Yeah, for sure. The woundings that we have experienced at the hands of other women, I would say some of my deepest betrayals would have been
through women. Yeah. And while I've experienced really painful betrayals with men, I feel like the wounding from women cut differently and in some ways took longer to heal because of the depth of the pain. I think betrayal is betrayal, or friendships that fall apart regardless of gender. That's the, like you said, the human experience of it is really painful. But I know that there have been times that I have wanted to resist letting friendships back in because of the pain I've walked through. And I've seen that commonly with others as well, where there's just that, like, I'll hang out with the guys or I'll have my family, but I don't need girlfriends. Yes. And I can say for me, one of the biggest parts of my healing journey, even in reclaiming my identity as a woman, mm-hmm. was through the process of letting those walls down bit by bit and risking trusting again.
Yeah.
Do you resonate with that at all?
100%. Like, as you're talking about letting the walls down, it's really been a process to feel safe enough. Mm-hmm. And there's always a sense of risk. There's always vulnerability in mm-hmm. me making a friend. And mm-hmm. I even think my closest relationships that I have now, it was risky, but it was very key to mm-hmm. my healing. The process of me letting those walls down and feeling safe enough and risking vulnerability again was a key part of my own heart healing and restoring the softness and the femininity of, you know, belonging to a group or mm-hmm. to at least one person mm-hmm. that I was allowed to be and belong as I was. Mm-hmm. It was so vital and so important.
Mm-hmm. And I think something that's important, and you've touched on that, makes me think of the value of choosing your community wisely.
Yeah.
You'll know people by their fruit. And yes. So there's something to be said when you hear the phrases that say you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. The community you spend time with makes a huge difference in the healing process. I found for me, the breakthroughs really began to happen when I intentionally chose people who were also going after things and had similar values to me.
100%. Yeah. I think that the story of the first person that I had a deep friendship with after a deep betrayal, that relationship has been like a foundational piece that a lot of my new beliefs around relationships and around what feminine relationships can be has come from that. So it's so vital. Was it so scary? It was the scariest thing I had done as an adult. I was like, oh my goodness, could I possibly honestly love again and be loved again? Mm. It's as vulnerable as that for me. Mm. And the relationship with her specifically, and she was very similarly going on an internal journey, a personal mm-hmm. health, emotional health, mm-hmm. Looking at the spiritual things that weren't fitting anymore, shame and those things. And so doing that together was so significant. And doing it in, you know, the capacity we had, at the health we had, and it's yeah. continuing to grow and change yeah. with, you know, with new levels of health and capacity. Mm-hmm. It's been very restorative.
Yeah. Just sitting with that, feeling the risk that you took. There is always an element of risk after pain where there's like a fork in the road. Because I've been hurt, do I just shut down? I think we would agree. There's been times where we both gone, yeah, I'm not ready. I want to acknowledge for the listeners who have been hurt and they're not ready yet, that that's actually a very valid place to be. And on the other side of the readiness, when you feel like you can begin to take that step, finding other people who are embracing a similar journey is such a key, mm-hmm. I think, in that process.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that because you're 100% right. I had years where I wasn't ready. Just to give context to people, like, it's okay that you're there and it makes sense. Just giving
people permission for this to take time is so important because we're not trying to in any way say that you should be somewhere, but we're trying to offer what we've found in our years and years of journey together is that community has brought so much restoration and helped us even find our own paths back to ourselves in a lot of ways.
Absolutely, because I think community can hold up a mirror at times when we aren't able to see things clearly on our own.
Yes.
And you're right, there's not a timeline that you have to fit in with, oh, it's been 6 months since you had this falling out, therefore you should be at X, Y, or Z place. It's like any sort of process with grief or healing. Yes. We have to go on our own personal journey and recognize that we will have our own hurdles to cross. We'll have our own choices that we have to make to choose to trust or risk again. Our heart, even in this message specifically, is that we are two people standing on the other side of having taken those risks again and having embraced the healing. And we can stand here and go, it's really good from where we're standing. We walked through some hard stuff, and coming out on the other side, there is hope, there's freedom. So don't give up. Don't give up. Wherever you are right now, don't give up. Let this be a little lifeline. You are born to be in community, and your past pain, even your past mistakes. I've made mistakes where I have been part of the cause of the mess up. You know, I'm the problem, it's me. And other people's pain and their choices have hurt me as well. And so as both at times the perpetrator of the pain and the receiver of the pain, that's part of our human journey too.
That's so good. That's so beautiful.
And there is hope. Your mistakes don't disqualify you.
Yeah, that's powerful. What are some beliefs that you have about relationships in terms of abundance instead of competition, like almost in contrast to what I was sharing about that clip from today of jealousy and competition and there's not being enough space? Like, what are some beliefs that you have about your relationships now?
Ooh, how long do we have, Des? I fundamentally believe, and I've got my bangle on today for my dear friend Krista. Shout out to you if you're watching this. But what it says on it is it says, there is more where that came from.
Yes.
And one of my core beliefs that, like, I'll die on this mountain is that we live in a universe of abundance. And when you win, that does not mean that I lose. And when you lose the weight, and you get the job, or what was the other thing that she said happens?
She's saying and saying, but get the job, get the car.
You get the job, you get the guy, you get the promotion, you get the money. That in no way means that I don't get to win as well. In fact, when you do well, that builds the collective. And I think it comes down to a belief system that says there's enough good to go around. Life is not a zero-sum game. We are not all competing over one cosmic friend pool. And if you get that friend or you get that opportunity, then bummer for me, I miss out. That's actually a lack and scarcity mindset that I recognize a lot of the world runs on. Mm-hmm. And I've seen in my own life when I felt envious or like, why did they get that? Almost without exception, I would say it's because I get envious of people who are doing something that I want or that resonates with me, that speaks to something in me that, for whatever reason, I either haven't given myself permission to own or I have pain around it. And so when they do well, it pushes on a pain point in me that makes me feel somehow disqualified or that I'm not allowed that same thing. And the truth is, that if you are succeeding in something and that speaks to me or that sparks something into me, why not reframe it rather than, oh, that means I don't get to have? What if it could mean instead the fact that that resonates with me is speaking to something in me that is born for my version of that thing? Mm-hmm. And so now when I recognize envy, because I'm not impervious, I'll have things where I'll recognize, oh, I feel a little envious here of this person. And I go, okay, hold on a second.
I am feeling this way because there's something about what they're doing that is inside of me too. Am I giving myself permission to want this? Am I giving myself space to own that this is something that I want? Or is there something entangled that's making me feel like I can't have it? And so when I see them succeed, it actually pushes on pain and it doesn't bring out celebration.
Yeah. So good. I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that inside relational abundance, jealousy or like this desire for the same thing is actually now a teacher for you. It becomes your teacher. Yes. So because you live in abundance, you can actually tune in and be like, oh, is there something that I want? Like, is there something that this is showing me about me? From her being herself, what is that showing me about myself?
And where's the invitation?
Yes. So good. So relatable. I mean, I love this abundance mindset that you have in so many areas, but relationally, I think it's so powerful because another way of saying what you just said, you like what's mine can't be taken from me. I'm not going to lose anything. I'm not losing anything when you launch your book. I'm not losing. It's not actually taking anything from me. So when you go and have a great time with your friend, I'm like, that doesn't take anything. This is adding. It's adding to our relational experience because you're getting love. You're getting care. I say this often to like my best friend. I'm like, when you're loved well, I feel it. It impacts me because that's the nature of love is that it can't be a deficit. There's only abundance. There's only multiplication. There's only expansion.
It's like with your children.
100%. I love
this. When they go, have you ever had your kids say, well, which is your favorite, mom? Which one's your favorite? And you try to explain to them.
Yes.
That with each additional child, it's like a new chamber of your heart opens up. It's not one pool that you're pulling love from.
Yes. I love that. That's exactly the truth. And there are areas of life and invitations and relationships like children and friendship that actually can expand your sense of love and belonging. And so I just think that these relationship things, especially in community with women, can do this. It can expand what we've understood. And I think that that's been something on our journeys of healing personally that we've both acquired, I would say, foundational or pillar beliefs inside relationship dynamics now.
Absolutely. And I think that you personally, Des, are a champion at cheering other women on. It genuinely bubbles up out of you because when I see you celebrate other women, I see you in a state of joy. This is fun. This is life-giving for you. If you've only experienced women being catty or backbiting or backstabbing, that is not the way we were created to operate.
Yeah.
Because when you get together with a collective group of women who believe in abundance and believe that your winning doesn't have to make me lose in any way, it's like an unlock. It's like a level up to a place where I don't know how to describe it. And it's like you have to taste it. It's so good. When I experience moments and I've had spaces and places where I've really had powerful encounters with other women who were comfortable in their identity, not perfect, but yet committed to the process, the sacredness and the safety that comes, that creates a space for us to begin to let some of the deep things in our heart. I think there's things in our heart that don't come to the surface to be seen until they feel safe.
I agree.
And sometimes you can get to a certain place on your own, but I also think there's other places that we have to get to together. And I'm reminded of that African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together.
So good. Yeah.
Tell me, girl.
It sort of leads into this next part about community and dreaming and community. And
filling into the fullness of who you are. Like you're saying, that if you want to go far, go together. I think we both share a fundamental belief, and we're both a part of a mentorship program that's been happening this year, and it's so rich. Before we did this mentorship together, we had done a similar type of programs separately with other groups of people, facilitated other things. And so we were just like, oh my goodness, this is so much a part of how we operate inside of our own personal feminine identities that were similar. Tell us a little bit about what it means to you to help people dream, to help women dream in a community aspect. I just,
hey, girlfriend,
like, this is one of my favorite subjects. We're talking about abundance and we're talking about dreaming. Okay, this is all my favorite things put together. I had a really special season in my life a number of years ago where I was in a small group with some other women for about 2.5 years. And it was one of the most healing, transformative seasons of my life. And it was where a lot of those women wounds were healed, but also just a place of safety where we were collectively going after wholeness, healing, and we were purposely showing up. We would meet every week and we made it a commitment to meet. We weren't just dropping in and out when we felt like it. There was actually a yes from all of us. There's something about that that I think can't be overstated, is that when you show up from your heart and you show up with a yes and you make a decision and you go in, there's something that happens when you say yes to something. There are things that get unlocked when you make a decision.
I agree.
That don't get unlocked when you're on the fence and don't get unlocked when you're wishy-washy about it. There's something about going in and saying, yep, my yes is on the table. And we took the time together seriously. And so I'd even say to people looking at their community, or if they're wanting more out of their community, I would just throw out that side challenge of, where's your yes right now? Are you all in? And if you're not, I'd ask myself, why? Is it because they aren't the right people? Or maybe there's something that feels off about it? Because there are people out there for you. I can say that with absolute conviction. There is a group of people out there for you that resonate, that are on the same path. And while you might not know where they are right now, there's something about you making the decision of, like, I'm going to go after this. Mm-hmm. There are unusual doors. There are serendipitous moments waiting for you when you make the decision that this is worthwhile and that healing is worthwhile. And the things that open up that I could never have predicted or known would open up because I said yes to certain elements of my healing and then even this community were way beyond anything I could have imagined on my own. Back to the point of gathering in community, we were very intentional about meeting together for about 2.5 years. And there is a momentum that built where we weren't talking about all our dreams to begin with. Mm-hmm. That wasn't what we were starting with. We started from a place of getting to know each other, and often will happen with community. You got to get to know each other. And as you do, sometimes you start talking about the pain. And so you'll have the vulnerable conversations around, this is what's hard in my life, or these are the things I'm walking through right now. I think when we think of vulnerability, that's often where we go to first, of what are the painful, what are the shameful, what are the skeletons in the closet that I need to share and maybe get out onto the open. And there's a really important part of healing that comes from sharing the painful parts of our story vulnerably. And I'm a huge advocate of creating safe spaces so that people can do that. But I remember personally having this aha moment. And I remember thinking, I have thought about vulnerability as a means of opening up areas to be healed, but there's actually a lot of vulnerability in talking about desires.
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Extremely vulnerable.
Extremely vulnerable, especially if in the past we've shared things vulnerably and maybe it's been poo-pooed or dismissed, or we shared it with people who didn't have capacity to hold our dreams safely. And so we go, okay, I'm going to hide this. So in the context of this community I was in, we started intentionally setting aside time to share dreams with one another. And this wasn't our first week. This was well into our time of meeting. We had built up enough emotional equity and enough safety to actually go, we're ready to hear some of these parts. And I'm with Brené Brown on this. One of the things she says is not everybody has the right to hear your story.
Yes.
And I very much agree with that. Not everybody has the right to hear your most vulnerable things off the bat. There's not that safety net to carry you. And I think that part of our journey is recognizing who am I to share my story with and where do I actually need to keep some things back because it's just not for everybody. And so as we started sharing stories and dreams with one another, it was wild the breakthroughs that people started having. Just as people had breakthroughs in their healing journey as they shared vulnerably and were met with love and safety, people started having radical breakthroughs in their dreams for their lives as they started sharing, okay, well, actually, I'd really like to do this. And, oh, I've never said this out loud before, but oh my goodness. I would call it miracles that happened because people had the courage to speak their dreams out loud.
Yes.
Absolutely blew my mind. I know you have thoughts on this as well.
Yeah.
Tell me about your insights on this, because I think we could spend hours on this conversation.
Well, I think that a dream of a person's heart holds a lot of their identity. Mm. And so when you're offering your dream, you're offering a piece of who you are. And that's what makes it both risky and magic at the same time, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So mm-hmm. when I'm hearing you say that, I'm like, yeah, of course, you weren't just offering pain. You were offering parts of your identity and you were speaking it out. And the collective, and I think this is where what we both agree on is that when I offer this thing and I'm like, I sort of dream this dream or this is a part of my heart and others join around us, which is the beauty of femininity at its like peak coming around and mm-hmm. and mirroring back. There's a saying I learned. It's something like I am known in the eyes of another. And this can be such a powerful, valuable mirror for us because when you see me, Mel, that helps me see myself. It helps me understand me. And so if you think about a community coming around you and your dream and holding up a mirror and say, I see this. This is you. This is who I believe you are. I want you to do this. This is beautiful. It's worthy. It's sacred. It's important. What happens is it lifts. It gives a buoyancy to that dream, to that part of your identity. It gives it life and it nurtures it in a way that I think that the feminine should be nurturing identities. Mm-hmm. Like think of us as mothers and children. Mm-hmm. That's what we're
wombs.
Made to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wombs nurture yes. life.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And outside the womb, that's what we're doing for little kids. We're nurturing these individual creations. And so when the feminine is activated, and we're just doing what we should be doing and doing what we can do so, so well is nurturing and like reflecting back. This is who I see you to be. And I just think that that is such a powerful, life-giving, worthwhile experience, which is why I just love doing it so much.
Mm. Did you have a specific moment where you really awakened to the fact that you loved doing this? Was it a process or was there like a catalytic moment? Because I definitely had some moments like that where I was like, I could do this for the rest of my life and help people dream. I'd be in heaven.
Yeah, so. That's interesting. I think it was a process because I identified with a mothering part that I had when I lived in Romania and I was working with street children and abandoned babies and then marginalized women. But I think working with babies especially, and I mean, I was just a 19, 20-year-old girl at the time. So I was like, oh my goodness, like this opened something inside me. So I understood it to be a very maternal experience at first. And then I think in the roles I played in ministry, I was often what I'm going to call like a midwife to somebody who had a vision and I would doula that dream. And so I noticed parts of me coming alive by being in this role. Mm-hmm. And then I would say another phase was I really started to lean into my own identity. And when I did, I created space and my own type of program, like before I met you, where we were really nurturing identity. Mm-hmm. And since I'm even thinking back and naming that and narrating that, I think it was a journey of understanding and recognizing that
nurture and the ability to cultivate that and to hold that and to launch that and to doula that was a deep part of who I was. And that made me feel very alive.
And it was just naturally flowing out in the way you found yourself showing up in the world.
Something that really stuck out to me was that I could feel this energy inside of me, a fulfillment. I would even call it a fulfillment when other people would lock into who they were and the things that would make them come alive. I had my own buoyancy. I could feel like I was lifting off the ground. It was like such an empowering thing. And so I think I just sort of collected these evidences over the years of my life. But tell me about your one moment. Was it something like that, or was it a process for you?
It was a process for me as well. I remember a couple of key times where, gosh, years ago, I was in my early 20s, I think. And I remember thinking, if I could help people dream, I think that would be really fulfilling. And I couldn't quite articulate it. I just recognized, like you said, it gave me life. And being in prophetic cultures, I was always very energized by healthy prophetic environments. There's non-healthy prophetic environments too, but healthy prophetic environments always energized me. There was something about possibility thinking and connecting to the dreams in people's heart. One of my favorite verses in Proverbs is Proverbs 13:12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And we've been talking about our nurturing and the fact that we're like a womb. And I have thought about this scripture for so many years, because if a desire fulfilled is a tree of life, then the desire begins as a seed. And so some of what we've been talking about is creating environments for those desire seeds to grow. Because just like a sunflower seed, if you plant it in the ground, if you water it and there's sunshine and there's soil, you do not have to force that seed to grow. That seed will naturally spring up of its own accord. It will germinate according to the way it's been designed. And I see dreams as exactly the same way. And I think that there's something back to what we are talking about, the collective community environment that is part of a nurturing factor that helps those dream seeds to spring up. Yes. And sometimes I think we've flipped the dreaming element on its head and turned it into something that we have to strive to do. And don't get me wrong, there's action involved. It's not just sitting on a pillow meditating and going, oh, maybe I'll just manifest this by simply thinking about it. And there's a very valid place for our imagination and visualization, but there's absolutely an action element to it as well. I just think if we don't see our dreams as seeds and we don't understand the collective power of community, sometimes we'll go and we'll strive unnecessarily to try to make things happen. Mm-hmm. And I think recognizing that in the presence of us creating environments for other people to flourish, some of those dreams will naturally come to the surface. And what I saw in my group, creating that community container is like putting the seeds in its own little pot and watering it and nurturing it and fertilizing it. And all of a sudden, we don't understand how it works, but we do our part. And it's like God brings increase. The miracle of the dream will start springing up on its own if you just give it the right environments. And I think that community is sometimes overlooked key to actually seeing our dreams come to pass. And in the greater conversation around healing, part of the healing journey isn't just repairing what was broken. It's actually stepping into the fullness of who we've been created to be. And I think healthy community has helped us do both.
So good. When you shared about part of healing is going in towards your heart and like caring for the pains, the parts that have been broken, but it's also reaching up towards dreams, towards life, towards you flowing and being yourself and living in that identity. So it's complex. There's some duality to healing. I believe your heart tells you when you're ready to dream. I felt it. And it was like, we're ready. And I was like, are we sure?
And dreams have their own voice. They'll actually start to press on. So you can feel that little seed, like, I'm wanting to break the surface. It's time to come up again. Yeah. And I sometimes see our healing process as the weeding out and tilling of the soil and getting it fresh and ready, because it's really hard to dream when you're in survival mode. That's where that first part of that verse, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When we're in survival mode, it's hard to dream. When we're in deep pain, not every season is a season for dreaming. There's a time for sowing and a time for reaping. There's a time for weeping, a time for rejoicing. There's a time to heal.
Yes.
And recognizing that the power of community is there for both is the beauty of it. I want to ask you a question, Des, because something that we both discovered in our journey of getting to know each other, how much our previous process was parallel, even though we had no knowledge of one another. And so then getting to know each other and seeing the crossover, one of the things that I have heard you mention, and it's something that has very much resonated with me, is the concept of women acting as doulas or midwives. And there's something that feels kind of ancient about it from the dawn of creation, something that we've been created to do. I would love to hear your insights on how you see that picture particularly playing out as a midwife or a doula.
Yeah. So this feels really personal, because I think that this identity piece of me that was sort of made to circle around and to like help deliver people's dreams into existence, or to help speak into people's identities and into those very intimate, vulnerable places of people's pain. Like the whole aspect is so much the metaphor of giving birth.
It's messy. So, it's beautiful. It's raw. It's loud.
So human. It's so human. When I think of being a woman, it feels like that ancient understanding. I think just throughout my life and my process of being a woman, there's these times where there are things that I just know, not because I've done them in life in these 24, 44, 54 years or whatever, but because I am a woman and women know how to do this. Mm-hmm. And when I was giving birth, that I just leaned into that. I was like, there is something so ancient that is so rooted in who I am that I can surrender to that and let it be true. And I think that there's, personally, I believe that this is a part of a way that I feel into who I am. There's like a letting go and just being that which I am. And that's what I want to invite other people into, this space where you're like, actually, you can just let go, which feels so much like labor. There's so much of just letting it happen, letting it run its course. And as a metaphor or as an image for kind of this collective thing that I think we hold really sacred in our own stories and sacred for others, I think this is such a great image for that. Yeah. What are you thinking about when I say that?
Just thinking about you saying how it's like you leaning into who you are. And I was thinking, ooh, so I want to know more about that, Des. What does it feel like when you're showing up as your badass self? Beautiful and badass.
Thank you. What does it feel like?
Because I was feeling something when you were talking. I went, oh, I wonder what this is feeling like for her. Because I could feel you embodying it as you were talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think how I would describe it, it feels like I'm in the flow of something that is not of this earth or not necessarily tangible, but I'm in a flow of something deeply eternal.
Yes.
And that's the feeling in my body. That might feel super woo-woo, and it could be, but I think I would best describe it that way.
The picture I get is of you tapping into the generations of women who have gone before collectively.
Yes.
There's this spiritual connection. That's what I was feeling when you were talking. It's like, you're not just pulling on Des as a woman, singular.
Yes.
You're pulling on the collective of all those who have gone before. It is spiritual and it is kind of woo-woo, but it's actually real, is what I would say. It's just as real. And if we don't know it's there, we don't always realize what is available to us to tap into.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
And that was what was coming to mind when you were talking. Do you have things to add to that now that I've said?
Well, I resonate with that. There are times, you know, I'll be making a dish of food and I can actually feel my ancestors that made this specific dish. And it's like, I'm not just me. It's like all of them were rolling grape leaves for my kids. You know, I can feel emotion. It's just very rich. And I think now I feel emotion. I think after tasting what community can feel like, I have a deep desire to tell other people this is available for you too. And there's a invitation in this episode. Can I extend some hope to you if you have been in the painful part of this process? Can we extend hope to not only say healing is available and there are people there for you? And if you haven't found them yet, don't give up. Maybe this is the extra little nudge that you need to hear today to encourage you to keep going. Because when you taste what is available when you get into a group of people who are collectively seeking wholeness and it's seeking the journey of stepping into who they truly were created to be, you'll go, it was worth it.
I would just add that it may be right around the corner for you. It may be a year away or 3 years away. I don't know, but I deeply hold the belief similarly that there are safe, beautiful, reciprocal relationships.
Reciprocal. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The word reciprocated, where you're not just the one who is pursuing. There are people out there who want to know you too.
So good. Are there any other really practical things that you would say to a listener who's looking for her community, who's looking for her person, her people? What would you say?
Just start. Have a think right now. Take a moment and consider, where are the places that I run into other women? Do you have kids at school, kids in sports? Is there a gym or a church that you go to? Is there some sort of community place that you are regularly interacting with? Start there. Is there anybody that when you see them, they're kind of highlighted to you? You think, oh, she's kind of cool. I wouldn't mind getting to know her. We've used the word risk a number of times in today's episode. There's always that little element of risk of you going out and checking, you know, hey, do you want to get together for coffee? You're putting yourself out there. That's just part of the process. What would you add, Des?
Yeah, I'm so true. Get out there. And stay really connected to yourself. We may not have capacity for three really close, deep relationships. But what does your life have capacity for? And I think that that's a question I'm always asking myself. And also, it's okay that along this path of growing your community, you have someone, a friend for 6 months, for a year, for 2 years. They're allowed to come and go. It's allowed to benefit you in the overall understanding of community. There's been so many people that have helped me understand that it's safe to be in community as a woman, but I'm not necessarily talking to all of them still in the same way. And so I just, it allows for that to be part of it. Not everyone is a forever, lifelong community person, and that's okay. That's actually good for us. It's that's the right way for it to be. Maybe get out of your mind that you're finding your one friend for life.
Yes.
But
lower
kind of stay open.
The stakes.
Stay open and lower the stakes. Yeah. Know what you need in this season too.
I think I used to look at friendships a little bit more high stakes than I do now. And I really like the fact that you just highlighted, could be your 6 month friend or your 12 month friend. That women's group that I was a part of for 2.5 years was one of the most beautiful seasons of my life, but it was just that. It was a season. I don't even live in the same state that I lived in when that group was formed. And many of us have moved. So
yes.
It was one of those things that was beautiful, but recognizing, again, back to the abundance conversation, there's always more where that came from. This friendship or group of friends that you have now, embrace
the goodness or embrace the process and recognize there's a season. And some people may travel with you for life, but most people don't. Mm-hmm. Most people are here for a time, and it doesn't make you bad if the friendship doesn't last forever, and it doesn't make them bad if we can hold our relationships with an open pair of hands. It allows people to be where they are on their journey, and it allows me to be where I am.
Yeah.
And I want you to feel the freedom to grow. And if you outgrow me one day, I want you to feel the freedom to keep moving into the place that's where you need to be next, just like I would want that same permission for myself. And I think when we can hold our friendships and view them through the lens of abundance of, this isn't my only opportunity to have friendships. I'm allowed to grow and they are too. I'm allowed to change and they are too. I'm allowed to go my separate ways. If and when that time comes, there's a lot of freedom, and it helps us relax and I think embrace the people in front of us now, while allowing future people to come across our path.
Oh, so
if and when that time comes.
Yeah, being present. And I would just say, maybe there's a listener who your body is locking up a lot when you think about texting that person or chatting. Like, it's so real. I think that betrayal triggers pain from our childhood. It's so human and relatable. And so I would just encourage anybody who's experiencing that, who can feel that their heart wants to go towards relationship, but their body and their souls feel really locked up, I would encourage you to reach out to a therapist to get support, to really untangle those threads back to some of those pain points, to really get the safety that they need back in their body to start to risk again.
Counselors and therapists can be a great first step when you don't have that community yet. Mm-hmm. It's like they can be that safe space. They can be that supportive environment on the journey to you finding your people. Des and I can't speak highly enough of how they've impacted our lives. And there's definitely been times where, I didn't have the capacity, or I was too locked up or too much in pain. And yet having that supportive person in my corner, just know if you're listening, you are worth the investment.
This has been such a rich episode. And so thank you for being with us, Mal. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm so grateful for you and my community as well. Any last words to our listeners as we wrap up?
Keep going. Keep going. This is worth it. It is so worth it. It's worth the hurdles you have to jump and the process you have to go through to heal. You'll hear us echo this in some form every episode. It's worth it. Keep going.
Keep going. Don't stop.
We love you. Can't wait to see you later next week.